gonna run this race until I see my Savior face to face. Oh, 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 I'm going up yonder. I'm going up to yonder. I'm going up yonder to be with my soon. If anybody asks you where I'm going, where I'm going to,
every praise. Every praise is to our God. Every word of worship in one accord. Every praise is to our God. Sing hallelujah to our glory, hallelujah. It's to our God, every praise, oh, it's to our God, oh, God, my Savior, God, my healer, God, my deliverer, yes, He is. Every praise is to our God. Sing hallelujah to our glory, hallelujah. Every praise, oh, it's to our God. Yes, He is. Yes, He is. He's my Savior. Oh, He's my God, my healer and deliverer. Oh,
your praise. Amen. Let's sing that song, Jesus, We're Depending on You. Jesus, We're Depending on You. Set that in the key.
Jesus, we're depending on You. Jesus, we're depending on You. Oh, yes, we're depending on You. We're depending on You to see us through. Oh, Jesus, oh, we're depending on You. It's Jesus. Yes, we're depending on You. Depending on You, we're depending on You to see us through. Well, they came to the water, they didn't know what to do. There was no one to help them, couldn't see their way through. And they walked right on through. Depending on You. Oh, Jesus, we're depending on You. Oh, Jesus, we are depending on You. Yes, Jesus, oh, we're depending on You. We're depending on You to see us. Tried by fire. You know the devil's a liar. There's not much he can do. No, see us through. Oh, Jesus, we're depending on You.
Good to have everyone in the house of the Lord. Good to see everybody. Just want to welcome all of you and all those who are streaming. If we could sing, let's sing Fallen in Love. Let's do that.
Falling in love with Jesus. Falling in love with Jesus. Oh, falling in love with Jesus was the best thing God ever, ever done.
Sing that one more.
Oh, falling in love with Jesus. I can't stop. In love with Jesus was the best thing God ever, ever done. Oh, in His arms I feel protected. It's in His arms, never disconnected. In His arms I feel protected, and there's no place I'd ever rather be.
Just reach out to Him.
Oh, falling in love with Jesus. I just can't stop falling.
was the best thing God ever, ever done. Oh, it was the best thing God ever, ever done.
Let's sing Draw Me Close to You, and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go.
Amen.
I lay it all down again.
Just to hear.
To hear you say that I'm.
This time, it's just as you play that softly, Brother Matt. We want to remember the Mills family as they're away, as well as the Brittons who are also away. We'd like to just take the need of Sister Sarah Buchanan's sister who's in the hospital. So if we just remember that and continue to remember Brother Keith, just continue to be in his prayers, and all those that we, you know, have been praying for, just continue to remember those needs. And we know that God is more than able. If I could have Brother Ted just pray over these needs. If you have a request, just by the lifting of the hands, just meet him there. He'll meet you.
Let's bow our heads. Lord God, how grateful we are that you're present with us right now. Lord, where would we be without your presence? Lord, I believe hell is a place where you're not there, and that's what makes it hell. Lord God, we're just thankful that we're a people that you've made yourself known to. You've lifted us up. You've brought us up out of sin. Lord, you placed us on track to take a rapture, to take a millennial reign by your side. We just want to thank you, Lord, for all these things. We especially want to remember, Lord, that you're a healer. You're the great physician. We want to thank you, Lord God, that you created that benefit for us, Lord. And we remember those that are sick, some of them quite seriously, Lord. And sometimes life seems hopeless, Lord, but it's not hopeless with you, Lord. It's hopeful. And Lord, we have promises, and we know that you're a God that is faithful to every word. So, Lord, we say have your way with each one of these, Lord, and may the testimonies that come forth, Lord, be for your glory and your honor. We thank you now, Lord God, that we can gather in your name to hear your word, to be blessed beyond measure, Lord, with what you have for us, Lord. Create better people that came when we leave, Lord. We just want to thank you also for the tithes and offerings, Lord. And we just ask that you bless each giver, Lord. And we just ask that you'd be with us for the remainder of the evening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Let's sing as you guys can take your seats. When I look into your holiness, I worship you. Do we have that thing now?
When I look into your holiness, when I gaze into your love, when all things become shadows in the light of you, when I found the joy of reaching your heart, when my will becomes enthroned in your love, when all things that surround become shadows in the light of you. I worship you. I worship is to worship you. I worship you. I worship you. The reason I live when I gaze into your loveliness, when all things that surround become shadows in the light of you. When I found the joy of reaching your heart, when my will becomes enthroned in your love, when all things that surround become shadows in the light of you. I worship you.
God bless you. Good to be in the house of the Lord tonight. It's good to be back. I'll tell you what, let me say this. I'm not saying this just because I should be saying this, but I'm saying this because I really mean it. I was just in Germany and left right as soon as the meeting ended, and literally walked out of the church, went to Frankfurt, and flew back here because I wanted to be back here. And got back quickly. So in a sense, you know, there's no letdown. There's no post-convention, no post-service, you know, none of that. And so I come in here tonight and you're singing, and it just picked me right up. It's just a blessing to be in the, it sounded like there was 1,000 people here and singing and worshiping God. And I'll tell you what, we don't know how good we've got it. Because it does not require thousands of people. It only requires people who believe in the presence of Jesus Christ. Amen. That's what it depends on. And I'll tell you, that's a blessing to me. And I feel good. I'm glad I came to the house of the Lord tonight. And I'm glad I'm here, and I hope you are too. And I just trust the Lord will meet with us tonight. Now, let me just give you a couple of quick announcements here, and then we're going to turn it to our brother Taylor. Tonight for service. We want to remember Sister Megan, Sister Haley. We're coming into a full moon cycle here, and so we want to remember them in prayer and just trust that everything goes well. And also we have several people who are away, so welcome to the summer season. Welcome to when this happens. And the Britons are away. They're going to be back, I think, on Friday. Males are away. Sarah Buchanan's sister, we want to remember, in hospital, still in very serious condition, and we want to remember her. Now, without going into a lot of detail, we want to remember Brother Keith. He's gone to a different level of possible treatment, and they're talking about doing a live donor where somebody can contribute a portion of their liver and give it to Brother Keith, and it'll grow him a liver. So if he asks you, if he pulls you aside and wants to ask you a question, don't be nervous. But literally, that can happen, right? And so this is a new, he's moving to a new hospital system, and so there's a lot of insurance and procedural administration stuff, but God is certainly doing something here, and we sure want to hold Brother Keith up in prayer. But Keith, you've suffered long with that, and we sure want to see an end come to that and pray that the Lord will bless him. Brother Keith said he was looking at my Bibles that I got for Sunday. We're going to give out our Bibles to our graduates, and he's looking at that pile, and he said, I'm going to have to graduate from something, he said, because these Bibles you give away are really nice. I said, you come back with a new liver one day, and I'm going to give you a new Bible. So that's the deal. He'll graduate. So, but joking aside, Keith, we sure want to remember you in prayer and just trust the Lord will undertake for you. Now, we're going to do our grads this Sunday, and we apologize because everybody will not be here. We know that. It's just very, very difficult to try to find a good Sunday when everybody is here. But we'll honor the grads who are not here at a later time, but we're going to have a simple potluck dinner on Sunday. And we know we'll have a bunch of people who are away. Sister Angela sent out an email last night and talked about what we will bring and so forth and what the church will supply. So if you didn't, I'm going to resend out that email to you as well, but it'll be this Sunday. So our schedule for this weekend will be as follows. We're going to have our brother's breakfast, 9 a.m., and you won't want to miss, because it'll be a casual time with a great menu, and we'll have just some casual fellowship, and then the sisters are going to be decorating right after that on Saturday morning. And we need to have, from our graduates, we need to have a photo and the bio, because we're going to do the bulletin board out here in the lobby. So if you have not done that and you're a graduate or you're a backslidden graduate listening to me tonight online, you need to get this to me or Sister Becky so that we can post this and put it on the board, okay? So we want to have one from everybody who's graduating so we can do that decoration, okay? And then the graduates will take care of their own setup for Sunday. So we're going to have a simple potluck dinner, and everybody's welcome to come, and it'll be a nice way to celebrate our grads. We're going to have two services on Sunday. Everyone say two. But it's not at 2 o'clock. It's at 11 and 5. Okay, 11 and 5. And so we're going to have two services, and we're excited about having Brother Tim with us here. Probably single-handedly, one of the brothers in the whole world who's done such a great work for the Bride of Christ is Brother Tim Dodd. And known Brother Tim a long, long time. We work together on many, many projects, do lots together. Tim is a great, to me, is a real man of God, real respected, and you will enjoy the meeting. We'll have the brothers meeting at 9 o'clock on Saturday, but then 2 on Sunday, and so you won't want to miss that. Mark it on your calendar, okay? We'll be doing that. So, Brother Anmark, good to have you back from New York. I haven't seen you since New York, so good to have you back. And Brother Shem over here. God bless you, Brother Shem. Good to have you back. We appreciate you being here. We sure missed you over the time you were in Zimbabwe. And great to have you with us tonight. So, having said all of that, I just want to say I appreciate all you folks being here tonight. I know times are busy. There's lots of things that are happening, but I think it's a great thing. It's a great blessing to be able to come aside from the busyness of our week and just just be in his presence for just a short time. It's just, there's just something good about it. Let's stand to our feet tonight, and let's sing it one more time, "When I Look Into Your Holiness." Brother Taylor is from Ghana. Most of you know him. He's been here before, and we're going to invite him to come and to share what's on the Lord's heart. He's got a great, he's here for medical purposes, partly, and do follow-up from his procedures that he's had done. And he's got good reports so far, so we're thankful for that, not anticipating any problems at all. So you make him feel welcome this evening, and I know it'll be a blessing to you. When I look into your holiness,
when I gaze into your loveliness, when all things that surround become shadows in the light of you, when I found the joy of reaching your heart, when my will becomes enthroned in your love, when all things that surround shadows in the light of you, I worship you, I worship you, the reason I magnify your name. We are here to be strengthened, to carry on with the rest of the journey. We are here, Lord, to hear what you have in store for us. You are the good shepherd. We are just vessels. May you pour yourself into us, that God, we might say something that will encourage your sheep. We bless your name, worship you, Lord. Those who may be on the way coming, we ask that, God, you bring them through safely. Those who, for one or two reasons, cannot make it today, Lord, be with them, protect them, and grant them their portion of the children's meat. We are thankful, Lord God, for this time. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Hallelujah. Let me just read the scripture so that we don't sit and stand again. And I'm reading from Galatians chapter 4. Verses 4 to 7. Galatians 4:4-7. Let's hear the word of the Lord. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son.
and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Amen. Amen. Please, we can take our seats. I want to thank the Lord for sparing my life and granting me the grace to be here again. Amen. I thank the Lord for all our lives.
Amen.
Since last year, so many things have transpired, but grace has kept us. And so we are grateful to the Lord. I want to also mention that we over there appreciate the work of Vision Books so much, because it's been a great help to us. You know, I think I've said this here before. Some time back, we used to take plain sheets, and then we're writing a whole sermon, copying them so that we could have our copies. But now, by God's grace, it's all over the place.
Yeah.
So we are very grateful. We appreciate the work of Vision Books. And not only are they giving the spiritual food, but they go all the way to support the needy as well. So we say, God, we should bless you all who are involved or connected with the Vision Books program. Amen. And I want to thank Brother Barry also for giving me the opportunity to be here and share something with you. Amen. Now, we have read Galatians chapter 4. And I'm taking my topic from verse 6. And because ye are sons, hallelujah. You know, ignorance is the worst condition that one should ever get himself into. Ignorance. Yeah. When you are ignorant of something. And that is the spirit of Laodicea, as we are all aware. Amen. That the condition of Laodicea. You know, when one knows nothing about his environment, and you know nothing about himself, you know, he doesn't know what belongs to him, what pertains to him. It becomes something that the Bible talks about. Laodicea says Laodicea is blind, wretched, poor, miserable, but he doesn't even know his condition. See? So ignorance is something that nobody should desire or want to remain in. See, sometimes you are looking for something that is so close to you, but because of your ignorance, you are not able to see it. You know, the Bible talks about Mary Magdalene when she went to the sepulchre of Jesus. And then here was a man, and then she was taking that man to be a gardener. But it was the Lord Jesus, the very one she was looking for, who was standing there. But out of ignorance, she couldn't just recognize him. So that is how ignorance can be. And you see, ignorance has cost the church so much. Ignorance has cost the believer. When we are unconscious or we are not aware of what belongs to us, then Satan takes advantage of that to our disadvantage. See, he takes advantage of us that because we don't know what belongs to us, what pertains to us, he takes advantage of that, to our disadvantage. Ignorance can be compared with darkness. You know, if the whole place is dark, I may be looking for this or a pen here, but because of the darkness, I won't be able to see it. So ignorance can be compared to darkness. And you see, the whole world is living in darkness.
Amen.
The Bible says gross darkness.
Yeah.
And so, you know, like Matthew chapter 4 and verse 16, it says the people, just shortening it, it says the people who sat in darkness saw a great light.
Yeah.
We saw a great light. We were all in denominational darkness. and we're not seeing our way through. We will read the Bible, we'll not understand, we take it the way they have taught us. We're in ignorance. Amen. But then the light shone. Those of us who were living in darkness, we're all living in darkness, like Galatians says. Or Ephesians chapter 2. Let me just read Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians says, "And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of the world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." So that was our condition, because we were all in darkness. Praise the Lord. But Matthew 4, as I read, it says, "The people who sat down, who sat in darkness, saw a great light." So this great light that we saw attracted us. The great light attracted us. God sent this great light on our way, and it caught our attention. The prophet dramatizes that with an eagle that lost one of its eggs, and then knowing that it was time for the egg to be hatched, went round looking for it, and because of his sharp eyes that could see further, it spotted the eagle among chicken. And so it screamed. And when it screamed, you know, before then, the eaglet was among the chicken, just scratching here and there, doing what, trying to imitate them, whatever they were doing. But deep within him, he wasn't satisfied with what he was doing. He wasn't satisfied with where he was. And so until Mama Eagle came around, screamed, and then that thing that caught him. It struck his heart. He said, "No, this is a familiar sound." And eventually he found himself flying to where it belonged. So that is how we were. When the denominations just scratching the ground, just trying to do whatever they were doing, we were not satisfied until Mama Eagle screamed. And the Bible says that where there's a deep, or where the deep calls, there should be a deep somewhere to respond. Amen. So this deep that called Mama Eagle, it caught us. Amen. Because there was something in common. And so that is how we came out from among the chicken. Hallelujah. Amen. It brought us out from among the chicken, because we didn't belong there. There was something in us that was crying, groaning for satisfaction. And we didn't have it until the Lord brought us out to where we belong. You know, it says every son must be born into a family.
Amen.
Yes. You cannot just join a family. You must be born into it. Amen. That is the only way we can become sons. That's the only way we can become daughters. And so there's a need for us to be born into a family. And there's no other family but the family of God. Praise the Lord. Now, in Revelation chapter 3, verse 14, it says, "And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things say the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God." The beginning of the creation of God. In the Laodicea church age, The prophet says, the beginning of the creation of God. That is who the Lord Jesus says he is. But those words don't mean exactly as they sound to us. Just taking them the way they sound has made some people, in fact, multitude of people, get the idea that Jesus was the first creation of God, making him lower than Godhead. Then this first creation created all the rest of the universe and whatsoever it contains. But that is not right. Amen. You know, that doesn't line up with the rest of the Bible. The words are, he is the beginner or author of the creation of God.
Yes.
Now we know for sure that Jesus is God, very God. He is the creator. John 1 verse 3 says, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. He is the one of whom it is said in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Also it says in Exodus 20:11, for in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. See, there is no doubt that he is the creator. He was the creator of a finished physical creation. So he was the creator of a finished physical creation. Surely we can see what these words mean now. To have any other interpretation would mean that God created God. How could God be created when he himself is the creator? But now he is standing in the midst of the church as he stands there revealing who he is in this last age. He calls himself the author of the creation of God. This is another creation. So now he's talking about two creations. The finished physical creation and then another creation. Amen. This has to do with the church. So this second creation or this other creation has to do with the church. This is a special designation of himself. He is the creator of that church. The heavenly bridegroom created his own bride. As the Spirit of God, he came down and created in the Virgin Mary the cells from which his body was born. Him it was said, lo, a body hast thou that the Father prepared for me. God, not Mary. God, not Mary, provided her body. Mary was a human incubator, and she carried that holy child and brought him to birth. It was a God man. He was the Son of God. He was the new creation. So this Son of God is a new creation. Hallelujah. This Son of this Son of God is the new creation. Now he's talking about a finished physical creation and then another creation.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. So, I'm sorry. So the Son of God was the new creation. Man and God met and joined. He was the first of this new race. Now there's a new race, that's a new creation. He is the head of this new race. Colossians 1:18 says, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. And then 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away.
Sure.
Behold, all things are become new.
Amen.
There you can see that though man was of the old order or creation, now in union with Christ, He has become a new creation of God. Hallelujah. So though we were of the old order or creation, now in union with Christ, we have become a new creation. That's Ephesians 2:10. For we are his workmanship, created in union with Christ Jesus unto good works. And Ephesians 4:24. And that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. So this new creation is not the old creation made over, or it could not be called a new creation.
Right.
So this is, we have the finished physical creation, and now we have a new creation, which is another creation. And it's telling us that it is not the old one that has been facelifted or painted or done something. Otherwise, it will not be called a new creation.
Amen.
It is an entirely new thing. Praise the Lord. You know, it is an entirely new thing. And see, John chapter 1. Let me read just John chapter 1 and verses 12 and 13. John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Verse 13. Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So this new creation has nothing to do with the way we came into the world. It has nothing to do with it. It is an entirely new creation. And Jesus is the first creation of that. Because it wasn't by the power of man and woman. Praise the Lord. So he is the first creation of this new creation. He is the first of the new creation. Praise the Lord. And so, it means that we were in him before the foundation of the world. As the Bible tells us, and our prophet has come to explain things to us. We were in him before the foundation of the world. Praise the Lord. If we were not in him, there's no way we can ever get back into him. Those who were in him will have to go back to him. That's why we are not serpent seed. Amen. You cannot be, because the serpent seed can never be converted. It will even go contrary to what the Lord said about the law of reproduction. Let every tree or every seed bring forth after its own kind. And so we cannot be, it can never be that we were serpent seed and then along the line. No. It doesn't work that way.
Amen.
It doesn't work that way. Because we are the sons of God.
Amen.
Because we are sons of God. It cannot happen that way. Praise the Lord. You know, the light of the message shone on us. We may not be the only people who ever heard the message. But it didn't attract many. It didn't attract all. Maybe you heard it together with your friends or colleagues or something, but you or maybe one or two people were attracted to it. Why not the others? Because you are sons of God. Because we are sons and daughters of God. His word attracted us. It's like a magnet. We know a magnet. You know, we put this water here, put wood here, put some other materials here, and put a metal here. And you place a magnet over it. The magnet will not attract this wood, it will not attract the papers, it will not attract the water. But if there's a metal here that has something in common with the metal, that is what it catches it. So because we are sons and daughters, when we heard the message, we couldn't but accept it. We couldn't but receive it. We couldn't but rejoice in it. Because there's an attraction. There's an attraction. Because we are sons and daughters. If you are not, you will come and you will go. Praise the Lord. So we accepted this message because we are sons of God. We are daughters of God. And we identified with the message that came. Because, you know, Abraham says that anytime God sends a message, he prepares a people that will receive it or that can accept it. And so if that thing is not in you, you cannot accept it. But because we are sons and daughters of God, because we were foreknown before the foundation of the world, we couldn't but receive it. Praise the Lord. When Jesus once spoke to the multitude, most of them became offended. And then they started leaving one after the other. And then Jesus asked them, the disciples, they were left with 12. Jesus asked them, will you also not leave? Because your cousin is leaving, your mommy is leaving, your auntie is leaving, your friends are leaving. And then Peter said, to whom shall we go? Amen. You alone have the words of eternal life. Amen. There was something that has bonded them to the word that they were hearing, the message that they were hearing. Why? Because their names were written there. Amen. Praise the Lord. Even though there was a hypocrite among them, that was Judas. But later on, he showed up his true colors. But then we believe it because we are sons and daughters. That is where we look, that is where we belong. That is how we should be fed. Praise the Lord. When we were in the denomination, we were being fed or something, but we were just contenting ourselves with it because there was no other. Some of us move from one denomination to another because there was a thirstiness. You go here, well, later on, let me just be here because we're not finding anything better. We did that for some time until God, by His grace, opened our eyes to receive this message. See, so if you are a child of God, wherever you are, maybe in a denomination or something, you will not be fully satisfied until you come to your own. Amen. You come to what belongs to you. Why? Because we are sons and daughters of God. Amen. And so that thing is in us. We are kept in the message. We have kept faith with the Lord. Not because we want to, but it is in us. Amen. You can't go away. Amen. You cannot go away. You know, things are happening. We all have our challenges, difficulties, shortcomings here and there. And people are not able to stay. They leave. But why are you still holding on? Because you are a son of God. You are a daughter of God. Many things come your way. You are going through so many things that if one of your issues should happen to somebody, he will just pack and go. But you are holding on because you are a son of God. You are a daughter of God. You cannot go. Where do you go but to the Lord? We have nowhere to go because we are sons and daughters. Praise the Lord. And so we are holding on. Sometimes you wonder yourself, how come I've been able to be in this message all this while? It's not you. It's God who is keeping you. It's that which He has placed in you that is keeping you.
Amen.
You know, I used to say that if I was the one holding God's hands, maybe I would have gone. But it is God who is holding my hand.
Amen.
And He's not going to leave me to go because I am part of Him. All because we are sons and daughters of God. And His interest is in us. He is keeping us. He is preserving us. Praise the Lord. This is exactly what it says it is. New creation. It is another creation distinct from the old one. No longer is he dealing by way of the flesh, as we read from John chapter 1. That was how he dealt with Israel. He chose Abraham, and of Abraham's issue through the godly Isaac line. But now, out of every kindred, tribe, and nation, he has purposed a new creation. He is the first of that creation. He was God created in the form of man. But now, by his spirit, he is creating many sons unto himself. Right. Amen. Amen. God, the creator, creating himself a part of his creation. This is the true revelation of God. This was his purpose. This purpose took form through election. That is why we could look right down to the... That's why he could look right down to the last age when all would be over and see himself still in the midst of the church as author of this new creation of God. His sovereign power brought it to pass. By his own decree, he elected the members of this new creation. He predestinated them to the adoption of children according to the good pleasure of his will. Amen. Hallelujah. By his omnipotence and omniscience, he brought it to pass. Amen. He brought it to pass. It is God's own doing. It is not my effort or your effort. If we have received this message and we are still pressing the battle, it is not our strength. It's not our effort. It's not none of our abilities. But because we are sons and daughters of God, he has planted something in us. He has put part of himself in us. And that is what keeps us going every day. Amen. Though we come under our juniper trees, as the prophet said, but God feeds us. He brings the right word at the right time just to encourage us, just to feed us, just to strengthen us so that we can continue the journey. Because we are sons and daughters of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. He will not leave us nor forsake us. Right. He is always with us. He will keep us on the way. Amen. You know, one thing is that God cannot save us today and then leave us tomorrow. Right. Lose us tomorrow. Amen. So once he saves us, he will keep us. Amen. He will preserve us.
That's right.
And he seals us with the Holy Spirit unto a day of redemption.
Amen.
That's why he said we should not grieve that spirit.
Yes.
We should always see ourselves as children of God, sons of God, and live as such. Praise the Lord. Talk about the prodigal son. You know, he had gone out to mess his life up, and then he himself admitted that he was not worthy to be called a son. And so that was what he was going to confess to the father. When he came, the father said, you will never be a servant. That's how you see yourself, because of what you've done. But you are still a son. Because you came out of my genes. There's no way you become a servant. No. You are born of me. You are part of me. And so that's how the Lord sees us. When we messed up our lives, and when we came back to him, we are still sons and daughters.
Amen.
He's still keeping us. The book of Psalms says, if I fall 7 times, I'll rise up 7 times.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yeah.
And if you are a child of God, coming back to God is not a problem.
That's right.
You are ready to be... corrected, you are ready to be penalized, you are ready to be reprimanded, and then you accept it faithfully. Once you're a child of God, that thing is part of your life.
Yes,
you can't say you're a son of God or a child of God and still will not want to be corrected. No. If you don't have that spirit to be corrected, then I'm afraid you're on dangerous grounds. Because we all have our weaknesses. And it will take the word of God. It says it is for reproof, for doctrine, for instruction, and all, that the man of God will be thoroughly furnished unto every good work. And so if you are a son or a daughter of God, you would love to be corrected. You know, when we're young, when we first came to the message, anytime we're going to church, I said, Lord, today, if there's any sin in me, if there's any wrong in me, Lord, let me be exposed. Let the sin be exposed in me. See, we were so zealous, we were serious, we were all that. And we must keep that thing. That anytime, Lord, anytime I go to church, if there's anything, hidden sin or something in me, Lord, let the preacher preach it. Amen. Let it be exposed. Amen. See, because we want to be corrected. Yes. So that we can make it. Amen. Why that concern? Why that spirit? Because we are children of God. Amen. We don't want to miss him. Right. Not for anything. Right. And so anything that will take, I mean, any whatever it takes to correct us or to get us in the rapture, we want to make it.
Amen.
That is the spirit of the sons and daughters of God. They want to make it. Yes. They don't want anything to stand the way.
Amen.
Praise the Lord, because we are sons and daughters of God.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So we are continuing to hold on despite all the things that come our way. We are holding on. The guilt of sin is always there. We're the child of God, we're son of God, like I've already said, so that when you are wrong, you want to be corrected. When things are not going on well, you want things to go on
yes.
well. Praise the Lord.
Yes.
I say, a brother who is not living right in one church in Ghana, and then he married. I've had children, two children with a wife. And then recently he goes to his pastor to say that he's living with two women. That is a known wife and then another one. So he has even a child with that person. And then he says, instead of going with a repentant heart to ask for prayers and not something, he goes to tell the pastor that this is my condition and I don't want to be a hypocrite, so I'm going. So I no longer belong to your church. What a serious thing. But if you're a child of God, you would rather ask for forgiveness. You ask to be prayed for. But now if you say you're no longer the member of the church, it means that you have accepted to go and continue that kind of life. But no child of God will do that. Praise the Lord. We want to live for God. So Jesus, let's read John chapter 17. John chapter 17, I'm reading verses 9 and then 15. Verse 9 and 15. I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. And then verse 15, I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. So Jesus prays for his disciples. See, I don't pray for everybody. I don't pray for the world, but I pray for those that you have given to me.
Yeah.
They are the ones I'm praying for. And I believe that prayer also covers us. Not only the disciples who walked with him, but it covers us. He didn't pray for the whole world, but he prayed for those who are his. And that is what keeps us going, because he has prayed for us. His prayer covers us. See, I don't pray for the world, but I pray for not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me. We are among them that have been given to him. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them. So if we are able to overcome all these challenges, it's because I believe Jesus prayed for us. Jesus prayed for us. So we were included in the prayer of Jesus. That is why we're able to keep on. Why? Because we are sons and daughters of God. Because we are sons and daughters of God. He prayed for us. He didn't pray for all, but the elect. Because we are sons of God. Praise the Lord. I'm reading from Expectations, the Message Expectations. I said I found two classes of people. Listen, on my third time around the world, since I've been here, and I found two classes of people. One of them is the fundamentalist, the other one is the Pentecostal. And the fundamentalists positionally know their place, but they haven't got much faith with it. And the Pentecostal has got plenty of faith, but don't know who they are. It's just like a man has got a lot of money in the bank and don't know how to write a check. And the next man can write a check and having got no money in the bank. If you can ever get them together, that's, you will have it. If they would only realize who you are. You are sons and daughters of God, heirs of the kingdom. Right now, we are kings. Claim your legal right. Don't let Satan press anything on you. You are of God, and he has got no right to hold you. See, so these two people, the Pentecostals, the fundamentalists, one knows who he is, but hasn't got faith to live as the Bible tells of him. One doesn't know, but he has faith. I say, if you can put the two together, it will be marvelous. You know. So if we are children of God, we know who we are by God's grace, but then maybe we don't have enough faith to claim what belongs to us as sons and daughters. See, but if we can have faith, we know who we are. If we can have faith to believe what God says we are. The prophet said, Jesus depended or relied on what the Bible said he was. He relied on what the Bible says he was. And so he acted accordingly. One time when the Pharisees were doubting him and saying so many things, he said, search the scriptures. For in them ye think ye have eternal life. And they are they that testify of me. So Jesus relied on what the Bible said he was. Or what the Father said he was. He relied on that. And what did the Bible say we are? We are sons and daughters of God. So we should rely on what the Bible says we are.
Amen.
And claim whatever belongs to us.
Yes.
As sons and daughters.
Amen.
Sometimes it's like we don't know what belongs to us. Yes. But we are the sons and daughters of God.
Amen.
Every promise in the Bible belongs to you and I.
Amen.
We know who we are, but we are afraid. We don't have faith enough to claim what belongs to us as children of God. That's what we have to work on. Because everything belongs to us. But what to help us to claim is our problem. See, when Abraham explains what faith is, it makes it so simple. Say, so you have faith to, when you are sitting there, you have faith that when you get up, you will not fall. You will be able to walk. That is simple faith. To claim whatever belongs to us. Because we are sons and daughters, He has kept everything for us. He's given us whatever belongs to us. Whatever pertains to life, God has given to us because we are sons and daughters of God. God has sent forth His Spirit into us, crying, Abba, Father. He has made us, He has adopted us. Praise the Lord. And so we belong to Him, and our lives ought to be the way He wants us to live. Sorry. Our lives ought to be the way He wants us to live. Not we trying to live our own lives. No, it will not work. See, but God has placed in us what it takes to be overcomers. What it takes to live real Christian lives.
Yeah.
Because we are sons and daughters of God. We are the people who will magnify God, who will testify of who He is, who will show the world who our God is. Because we are sons and daughters of God. No one can praise God except you and I. No one can worship God faithfully except you and I. No one can live the Christian life, the true Christian life, except you and I. Because He has placed something in us. We came from Him. And whatever was in God, He placed, He poured into Christ. And whatever was in Christ, He poured into us. So we have what it takes to live and to glorify God. Say, hallowed be thy name. Yes, if the name of the Lord will be hallowed here, if His will will be done here as it is done in heaven, it will take you and I, because we are sons and daughters of God. Nobody can do it, faithfully other than you and I, because we are sons and daughters of God. Because ye are born again sons and daughters of God, you are co-equal with Jesus Christ in His presence. Hallelujah. Because we are, sons and daughters of God. He said, we are co-equal with Jesus Christ in His presence. That is where we are. That is where God has placed us. All that was Christ was in Christ, ye are. He has poured Himself into you, that you will manifest Him, that ye will continue His ministry. So the same power that spoke the world into existence is in those people. That's God the Holy Ghost. Men and women, it's time that we found out who we are. Amen. You sons and daughters of God. He said, deity is in you. We are carrying or tabernacling the whole mighty God. You are His tabernacle. You are His temple. So we are not mean people. People may see us mean, but before God, we are great men and women. Praise the Lord. Because we are sons, God has placed us in this condition. And through the blood, you became a part of Him, into the same cell that He came out of. And the very presence and part of God comes into you. By faith, you purchased it. And that same Holy Spirit that was in the Lord Jesus Christ comes into you. And then you are sons and daughters of God, adopted by the Lord Jesus Christ into the body of Christ. Amen. This is what God says we are. And so we should take it up. This is what God says I am. And then I will live towards that. I will work towards that. I will believe. I will believe it as He says about me. Yes. He said, "The dove came on the lamp, and they two became one. The lamp was one creature, and the dove was another creature. And when the dove and the lamp united together, God was manifested in the flesh." Amen. And now He is manifested in your flesh by being adopted sons and daughters to the kingdom of God through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That's right. And you became joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh my. Oh church, you got the power if you got the faith to use it with. We've got the power if we have the faith to use it for, I mean, with. We are sons and daughters of God. God has made us special. And the Bible says we are a peculiar people, a royal priesthood,
yeah,
a holy nation, a people who have been chosen by God. To be sons and daughters of God. That's the highest position anyone can ever have in this world.
Amen.
To be a son of God, a daughter of God. Here, if one is related to maybe a president or a renowned person, he's so proud of it. But we are sons and daughters of God. Yeah. Let's stand up as children of God.
Amen.
And then claim what belongs to us.
Amen.
We are not poor.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Our Father is rich in houses and lands. He has all the things that we see around. More than that, we are sons and daughters of God. Let's stand up and don't make ourselves look like we are so miserable. And No. But I'm talking about a slave who was brought along during the slave trade. He was brought along with others from Africa and other places to the Americas. And then he said there was one among them who was quite peculiar, the way he comported himself and did everything. See, and so even the master didn't want to sell him because the way he was. Someone came, wanted to buy him. Said, "No, I don't want to sell him." Said, "Why? What is so special about him?" He said, "Well, me too. I was wondering. See, do you feed him differently? Do you do this?" Said, no. He's just an ordinary slave. And then he found out that this slave, back in his homeland, was a prince of a chief or a king over there. See, and this slave had in his mind that he was a prince. And so whether he was now being treated or acknowledged as a slave or not, he maintained his position as a prince. He held that was his conscience. He was satisfied with that. I am a prince. So though he found himself among other people, he made sure that he kept himself as a prince. He comported himself. He did everything as a prince. He didn't say, "Well, now all hopes are gone. I don't think I'm ever going back to my land to be a prince." No. Wherever he was. So though we are also aliens in this world, we are far away from home. Let us comport ourselves. Let our lives show people that we are not ordinary people. We are of God. We are sons and daughters of God.
Amen.
Nothing will make us to compromise.
Amen.
Or to do anything that will derail us or to take us away from what we really are. Because we are sons and daughters of God.
Amen.
God is depending on us. Amen.
Yeah.
The whole world, nobody can worship God like we do. Nobody can believe him like we do. Nobody can live a true Christian life like we do. So sometimes it's unfortunate when you see people, message believers, sometimes living contrary to the very thing that they claim to believe. We are sons and daughters of God. Let us keep our heads up.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Because God is depending on us. When the whole world is filled with was filth and darkness and everything, he is depending on you and I. Well, nobody is going to worship him. You know, the devil is just grabbing the people. But thank God, you see, God has put certain things in place so that we will, he said, the elect can never be deceived. No matter how tricky the enemy is, the elect shall never be deceived.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. He keeps us. He watches over us. Because we are sons and daughters of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah. He wants us to continue the journey. Let us be about God's covenant with Abraham. Just skipping so many things so that I can make the time. Let's be about our Father's business, because believing everything, let's be about our Father's business, believing everything God said and acting on the same. Let men and women act like Christians and live like Christians and be like Christians. Support the young fellows that's coming. Hallelujah. So God is looking after us. He wants to see us living his life. He wants to be proud of us. God is proud of us. He was proud of Job. That's why he threw the challenge to Satan. You can do anything against him, but he will never denounce me. God was sure. Amen. Let God be sure of us. We want God to be sure of us. Like he was sure of Job, never denouncing him or disbelieving him or something. He held on to it because he was son of God. Amen. Let us be sons and daughters of God. Let our lives and everything show that, yes, we are sons and sons of God. Amen. Because we are sons of God, he has placed us higher than anything. All the demons are under us. Everything is under us. That is against the word of God. Because we are the sons of God. God is keeping us. He's watching us. He has all that it takes to keep us now and through the journey until he comes. Amen. Let us not lose courage. Let's not be in a hurry to do things or to take our own lives into our hands. No, we cannot do that. We need to keep God let God always have preeminence in our lives. Yes. Hallelujah. He is our banner. He is our everything. Praise the Lord. Amen. Because we are sons and daughters of God, he has made us joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Because we are sons and daughters of God, he has purchased our salvation with his own blood. Yes. Praise the Lord. Yes. Because we are sons and daughters of God, we are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. Because we are sons and daughters of God, he said, no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper.
Amen.
Why? Because we are sons and daughters of God. Yes. Praise the Lord. Because we are sons and daughters of God, our names are written over them.
Amen.
Because we are sons and daughters of God, victory is ours.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Let us make ourselves, let the world see who we are, that we are the sons of God. Amen. Pray, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within.
Bless the Lord,
O
my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name.
One more time. Bless the Lord,
within me. Bless his holy, holy name. He's got it all in control. God's got it all in control. Down in my soul, he's got it all in control.
Sing it again now.
God's got it all in control. Yes, he's got it all in control. That reassurance deep down in my soul. He's got it all in control.
Sing this now.
My Father knows what I need. Yes, I go through, he knows what's best for me. My Father knows what I need. He's got it all in control. He's got it all. Down in my soul,
he's got it all in
control. We've been made more than conquerors, overcomers in this life. Believe that tonight?
Amen.
We've been made more than conquerors, overcomers. In this life, we've been made victorious through the blood of Jesus Christ. Yes, we've been
saying tonight over and over that, you know, we're special. We have been called for a reason, and God is keeping us, and God's preserving us, and God's holding on to us. I'll give you an example of that. This past weekend in Germany, I didn't realize there were so many Ukrainian refugees who were there. And you remember several years ago, we were involved in a kind of an undercover operation to smuggle people out of Ukraine, back across the Russian border and then out into Europe. And we did 40 smuggling operations. So there was 40 individuals who were taken out. And every one of them cost $1,000 to go, and it was just an extraordinary journey. Three of those brothers were there in the meeting on the weekend. And I told them, I said, I wanted to get with them, and I said, I want to hear your story. I want to have you tell me the details about what happened and what it was like to go through that. And we sat down and recorded, and I have it all here. We have the recording of their story. And if you don't believe that God watches over the bride, you need to hear this story. because what those brothers went through, and the I mean, it was nerve-wracking just to listen to it. It was extraordinary just to listen to it, and the dangers they faced and the uncertainty and the I asked them, I said, what would happen if you were caught? What would happen if this fell through? And they, all three of them, said the same thing. They said nothing good would have happened. They said we would never have been seen again. And there were so many things that could have gone wrong, so many things that were just events that, just by the grace of God, you know, came out the way they did, and they made it across on the other side, and then their wives and children followed eventually afterwards. It was no problem for women and children, but for the brothers to get across, it was there, and they made it out and reunited with their families, and now they're living in different parts of the country, in Germany, in Norway, different places, and it was just extraordinary how risky an operation that actually was, and how dangerous it actually was. And I said, did all 40 make it out? Because I said, there's so much about this operation we didn't know. They said, all 40 made it out. No one got in trouble. There wasn't one of those believers who were stopped by the Russians. And they said, every one of them are now living in Europe in one country or another. And all of their families are reunited and doing well. And I said, that it just had to be the grace of God for them to go through that experience. We're going to try to edit it and let you hear a portion of it. I have real strict boundaries about what I can tell you because of the safety of their families. But the story was just incredible. So, you know, to hear Brother Taylor talk about the fact that, you know, God preserves us and God keeps us. Sometimes we have no idea how powerful a thing that actually is, and how God watches over us in conditions that are so difficult and dangerous. Let's sing that We've Been Made More Than Conquerors one more time. Brother Anwar, I'm going to ask you if you come and close in prayer today. And if you will, take a little time this weekend, in the next few days, just to pray for our meetings of the weekend, and trust that the Lord will meet with us and really speak to our hearts. If you're a graduate, again, we want you to get your picture to us and your bio so that we can have that information. So if you would do that. We've been made more than conquerors. We've been made more than conquerors, overcomers in this life. We've been
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Our dear, precious Heavenly Father, we are so thankful to you for this wonderful opportunity to come into your presence, Lord Jesus, and to worship you, Lord Jesus, with our whole heart and mind and all the might that we have. Thank you for your grace and the love that you have shown us, that you are loving us and gave us new birth by the Holy Spirit, that we can be your beloved sons and daughters. And you are keeping us by your grace, Lord Jesus, because you have already chosen us before the foundations of the world, Lord Jesus. Thank you for your precious word, Lord Jesus, your minister, Lord Jesus, and all the people that are listening and believing and saying amen to your words, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for this precious time that we spent in your presence this evening, Lord Jesus. Ask your grace and mercy when we are leaving for the rest of the week, Lord Jesus. Keep us in your hands. And keep us believing that you are the powerful, almighty Lord, who is our Father. And we are your sons and daughters, and all the precious promises belong to us, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for every precious word. Keep us, take us safe in our homes, Lord Jesus. We ask everything in your precious, mighty Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God.
Amen. God bless you as you go tonight. Let's sing.
It's Jesus I really want to see. It's Jesus. It means